Let's just pray to start off with. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're so thankful that you are the healer. Lord, our bodies are so frail and so weak, and it's amazing what can happen to them in such a short period of time. But we know that you're strong. We know that you can take care of all of us, and if we'll obey you and do what you say in your word, you will bless us and heal us and restore us, and you'll just do a great and mighty work. And we're so glad that you're our God and our Lord. I thank you for all these people that came from many different places around the country, and that they'll come and they'll hear your word in some way today that may touch their heart, may change their life forever, so that they'll walk close to you and be in obedience to your word. And Lord, I just thank you and praise you for being our God as we go through this healing school. In Jesus' name, amen. And let me give you a little bit of an idea of what happened, how you can be in such good shape, running around here in the church, have church on Sunday. Everything's going good. You're walking through the place, walking fast, like I normally do. I walk pretty fast and come in from the ministry center to go into the kitchen in here to get me a bite of breakfast on Monday morning. And the lights were all off in here except for the ones on their sides. So it was kind of dark anyway, but I could still see. Walked around the corner of the beach, right, the beam right there on this pew, and I hung this pew on my lower leg. When I did, it throwed me across that pew just like a rock. I mean, it just throwed me right over on the ground, and I hit the ground on my right side. And when I hit the ground on my right side, my right knee, all that, I jumped up immediately and said, I have no bruises. I have no damage to my leg in the name of Jesus. So I got up, thanked the Lord for his word, went on in and had me a bite of breakfast and come back out. Everything's okay as far as I can tell. Go back up there and Cheryl's fixing to load some stuff to take it over to Grapevine Lake, and she wanted to know if I'd help her. And I said, sure, it's about 20 boxes. So I helped her load about 20 boxes of stuff, and then I went up and started to get in the car to go with her. And as I put my foot up on the running board and put the weight on it, boy, 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 it was in a different world. Amazing how quick your body can go from being perfect health, and it's just that kind of shape. So anyway, I thought, well, you know, I just rebuked it and said it'll go away, and I just went ahead and went with her and unloaded the stuff. When we unloaded the stuff, the first box we unloaded, Cheryl said, you look like you're limping a little, something wrong with your leg. And I said, yes, it is. So she said, well, let me go ahead and unload the rest of them. I unloaded the biggest one. So everything was okay. So I come on back home with her after we got those unloaded. And every day that pain got just a little bit worse. And finally I decided, okay, I got to find out what's wrong here. And so I had an MRI done, and sure enough, when doing that MRI, I've got a busted cap of some kind on the leg.
You've got a fracture of the top of your femur.
Okay, you hear what she said?
You have a fracture of the top of your femur, the tibular top, something like that.
Yeah. So anyway, now then I'm fighting the fight of faith. Now I'm trying to learn how to walk by faith myself.
Praise the Lord.
I'm telling you, it's like one of the ladies here the other day, her husband had walked by faith and on a broken shoulder. And he's been completely healed now for a while, but she said, you know, walking by faith is not easy. I said, I know it's not easy, but we're going to do it.
Amen.
We're going to stand on God's word. And today, the healing school, Dave's going to do the healing school today. He's going to teach what he wants to as long as he wants to, till he runs out of gas or whatever. And then after he teaches for a while, then we'll have to take a break. And we'll come back, and then we'll finish it off with the promises of God. And everything, and I know we'll have a good day, and God will show up. He's always the healer. We are never the healer. We're just here to, he uses his word. And we just quote his word. And God heals us through his word. So
Amen.
He's the healer. He's the powerhouse. He's the one we're looking to for our healing.
Amen.
So we just thank you, Lord, for being the mighty God you are. And we're going to turn this over to Dave and let him teach you some. In Jesus' name, we're so glad you came today.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. But sorry?
Thank you for Dave.
Thank you for Dave. How did y'all know I was going to get up today? I'll bet there's one very surprised man. Praise the Lord. What's that? Okay. There was a comment, but I don't know what that was said, so.
Hallelujah.
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 Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So Pastor said that he heals us by his word. I want to talk about that today. Yeah. Sometimes I feel like a rookie. You ever been a rookie at a baseball game? Here's all the scouts. They're all sitting out here watching you. You got one shot. Maybe three pitches, right? Four swings, right? Or four fouls, but and you get only one shot to knock this ball out of the park to impress the scouts so you can get a job. Amen? Anybody know? Hey, praise the Lord, brother. I haven't seen you in a while. That's the way I feel sometimes. I get one shot. So I was asking God when I was told at 10 o'clock last night, you're going to share tomorrow. So don't blame me. No. I said, Lord, what do you want to tell him? And that's kind of what he said. You get one shot. If you only have one chance to tell somebody whatever it is you want to tell them, what would it be? What is it? Each one of you has had those opportunities. I was at a banquet the other night, and the general speaking said, practice your 30-second elevator speech. You're going to get in an elevator with somebody, and you need to make an impression. And in 30 seconds, you're going to get out of that elevator. They either are going to accept it or they're going to deny it. What would you tell them? So I thought about that. I thought, Lord, what would I tell these folks? What is the one thing that's... I can talk about the woes that Boeing's having right now. I can talk about why Boeing isn't selling airplanes. I can tell you that they should have grounded. I can talk all about Boeing, okay? But that's not going to bless you. I could talk about Jesus. Oh, yes, amen, hallelujah, Jesus. But you can still walk out and still be busted and disgusted, defeated. No healing, looking, coming. How many of y'all came here for something? You want Jesus to show up today to do something for you? Okay, that's about 70%. 70%, okay. What would I talk about? And I started meditating on it. I said, well, there is one thing I'd love to tell everybody. There is one thing I'd love to share. If people could get a hold of this one thing, I'd love to be able to tell them in a way they could walk out and it changed their life forever. There is one thing. How many of you have had questions about why what we teach doesn't work? I'm not talking about here. I'm just talking about in general, what we teach in the body of Christ doesn't work. I'm sorry?
Faith,
okay. How many had questions about your favorite pastor that has something that doesn't work right? Well, my favorite pastor sits here, and he just admitted he's busted. Why isn't it working? What is it that's making all of these things that we teach, that we hear? I mean, how many of y'all love Andrew Womack? I know there's some of you here. How about Creflo Dollar? Come on. Joseph Prince. Okay, Thurman Scrivener, all hands should go up. Come on. All hands should go up. Amen. Okay, good. For the video. Okay. Why is it that somehow things don't seem to always work? And I went to God with this. I said, God, I am extremely confused. I can find everything in the book. I said, why is it not working? I'll go back to Boeing for a second. If the plane crashes once, I'd look and I'd say, something's not right about this. Especially when the plane nosedives into the ground. Okay? It's one thing to have a plane crash scattered across miles. But it's another thing when the crash site is only this big and everything's in it. And then when it happens a second time, I'd have been the first on the phone and say, I don't know what's going on, but we have to find out. That's the way I feel about this with us. Why isn't it working?
Sin.
I'm sorry?
Sin.
Okay, sin. That's definitely something we share here. But I want to go a little deeper than sin.
Unbelief,
okay. It is definitely along lines of unbelief.
Lack of knowledge.
I'm going to say it's lack of the knowledge. How many of y'all heard me share about the two trees? Oh, none of you. Okay, praise the Lord. Praise you, little brother. So nobody knows why I talk about the two trees. So I'll leave that alone for now. It's a revelation God gave me. What is it I would want to share so that you walked out and it started working for you? How many of you all like Pastor Scribner's story about Caitlin's throat, flapper valve? You all have heard that one? Okay, so that I can work off of that story? Okay. How did he get that thing to work? Okay, faith. Yep, that's great. Praise the Lord. Head answer. We've got it. Let's go. No, it's something deeper than that. Okay, believing with no doubt. Okay, that's closer.
Action.
Action, sure.
He asked.
I got it. What's that?
He didn't rush things, and then he had faith to go ahead and do it.
He didn't rush things. That's getting very close. He didn't rush things until he had faith to go. Until he had faith to go do it?
He built his faith.
He built his faith.
He didn't rush.
Okay. So,
faith, and then he acted on his faith.
He acted on his faith. Okay. Amen. Where does faith come from?
Hearing
and hearing the word of God. Boy, I hear that. I can praise the Lord. That's almost in unison. Praise the Lord. Faith comes by hearing and okay. So you all are hearing today, so you should be able to walk out and it should work.
Yes.
Except some of you, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Say it again.
Why?
That was the question. Why? I want to talk about the why today. The one thing I want you to walk away from here today is understand why it's not always working. Does this ministry see great miracles?
Yes.
Yeah. Does Andrew Womack's?
Yes.
Okay. Creflo Dollars?
Yes.
Any other ones? Robert Morris down the street?
Yes.
Amen, right? They all see. But why is it that the church is only getting 15%? I mean, if we were flying planes with the 15%, we wouldn't fly. Amen? I mean, how many of y'all flew here? I mean, you had a 15% chance of arriving. How many of you were going to get on that plane? No, that's a unison. No, nobody's going to get on that plane. So, I want to talk about the why. How do we make it work? And it's pinned in the story of Pastor and Caitlin's flapper valve. Pastor would read Mark 11:24. Bring up Mark 11:24, please. He would read this scripture. Y'all know Caitlin's story, right? Okay, good. The rest of you don't? Okay, well, get a tape. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray. What?
Believe.
What? That you receive them and you shall have them. Boy, he believed. He'd go back to the doctors in 2 weeks and find out his believer didn't work. It wasn't working. Amen? I mean, how do y'all know the story? I mean, talk to me.
But look at all the miracles
that had happened. She was able to see. She was able to walk. She was.
But why didn't this one work?
Yeah, why didn't that one work when all the other ones worked?
The question is, we're gonna get round tables here in a second. I'm just gonna let y'all go. Praise the Lord. Y'all, is this question ever come to your mind? Sure has mine. Yes. I've oversimplified it. Actually, we haven't made it simple enough. We are always trying to make it more difficult than it is. Okay, so let's look here. So he goes, he reads this, and he says, oh, amen. Doctor, this time it's going to work. First, the second month that he gets there. It's 2 months after her accident or when she comes home. He says, no, doctor, I guarantee it works this time. He goes in, and the doctor says, I'm sorry, it doesn't work. You all know the story. He goes, wow, okay, God, I don't know why it's not working. What did I miss? And he goes back and he studies this verse. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. All right, that's it. 2 months later, he goes back to the doctors. This is the second time, and the doctor says,
no,
I'm sorry, it's not working.
No.
Does this the third time? The fourth time, by the time he gets to the 10th month, the doctor says those great words, it will never work. If it hasn't started working by this time, it will never work. Now, he's been reading this verse over and over again. I'm gonna bust your bubble for a second. How many of y'all know that the knowledge of that verse will not heal you? That's a great title.
Yeah.
What did you just say, Dave? Knowledge of that verse will not heal you. Well, keep going. I'll get to my point. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you have received them, and you shall have them. He gets to the 12th month, if I remember right. This is probably the 6th visit now. Correction. After coming home for the 10th month, he's got to go back in 2 months. And he's sitting here meditating on this verse. Father, I don't understand why it is not working. You said right here, I say unto you what things soever you desire, and I desire for the flapper valve in Caitlin's throat to work. I desire that. When you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them, and it doesn't work. What is going on? Have you all been there? I mean, how am I preaching to? Yes.
What it was, and a lot of the problem that he had, he was relying on other people to tell him that it worked before he believed it.
Okay, close. Very close. Very close. That is very close. He was relying on other people, but that still won't get you healed. How many of y'all have heard of stories where people have children, they're believing God, my child has this severe disease, but I'm believing God and God's going to heal my child, and the next time you hear about them, they're in jail because their child died. Good Christian people. I'm come on, who am I talking to here?
Yeah.
You heard those stories? Why didn't it work?
The roots aren't deep.
I'll tell you how to get your roots deep. What happened in that 10th month with Pastor? Reading this verse again and again and again and again and again and again and again.
He took action.
Nope. He took action, but something happened before that. I'm going to tell you the answer because this is what I want you to take home. This is why I'm belaboring it. I want you to take this home. If you fall asleep for the rest of the teaching, I don't care. Take this home. Okay, that's very close. He heard from God. The scripture came alive. It quickened to him. It exploded off the page. And he goes, oh, my goodness, that's what that says. It says, when I pray. Now, that wasn't something he decided he was going to make a good sermon on next Sunday. That's something that got into his heart and went, boom. I'll ask you, you come in here to get a healing. What scripture do you have? You bring out this bag full of scriptures. Which one ever talked to you? The knowledge of this will never heal you. You can know 15,000 verses. You can know the entire Bible and it will not heal you until one little phrase or word out of one little scripture goes boom. And when that explodes, you will have what you're looking for. Now, how many of y'all are good Christians? We're all good Christians in here. Amen? I mean, you're not here on a Saturday because you're trying to get us saved. Amen? You're here to find answers. What happened with Pastor on this verse? That phrase, when you pray, believe that it's done. Now, you've heard him preach this. I'm not preaching nothing new. He's preached this a bunch of times. What happened that day in the 10th month when he came home and said, God, I don't understand why it's not working. You've done all these other things for me, all these other miracles. Why is this not working? How many of y'all go there? How many of y'all have something that's not working? That should be every hand in here. So some of you need arms prayed for. Okay, praise the Lord. Every one of us has something that's not working. Oh yes, how many of we've seen miracles? How many of us have prayed and seen God do things? Amen. All of us should raise our hands. Even if it was a little thing, even if it was you just needed a parking spot in front of the grocery store.
Yes.
I mean, how many of y'all have been selfish and prayed that?
Yes.
Did he show up?
Yes.
Every time.
Yes.
Why isn't this working?
Yeah.
Because we never got a revelation of one little tiny phrase in one little tiny scripture where he said, I will do it. And we are good Christians. We can preach sermons full of verses. Pastors shared verse after verse after verse in his healing schools about the promises of God. And he tells you at the end, he says, just bring me one of those promises back up here and we'll stand on it. Well, how long did he work on this verse before it finally talked to him?
2 weeks.
2 weeks?
It read 2 weeks.
He worked on it a year.
Yes.
This verse he stood on for a year. And then finally he got serious about it and says, God, I'm not quitting until you tell me what's going on. And what was going on is he did not have a revelation of it. See, there's two trees in the garden. I knew I was going to get to that. What's the one tree? Tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Is this knowledge of good? Ooh, yes. But if you eat only of that, it will. What do you? What will happen if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? You will die. Only in the tree of life where it becomes a revelation. Now, how many of y'all have a scripture for whatever it is you want God to do for you? Now, oh wow. Okay, we're going to work on this a little longer. Praise the Lord. I've got some examples. I've got some stories to share with you today about this. Just knowing that God loves you will not make it work. Believing, like, oh, I believe, hallelujah, you can sing songs about it, will not get you healed. It's only when it gets in the heart. Now, let me ask you. This revelation, this quickening, this scripture coming alive, this ability for joy to show up in the middle of whatever situation you're in because the scripture got into your heart. We can equate that to life. That comes from the tree of life. Now, let me ask you, how many of y'all have kids?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I'm going to use a word that people short circuit over. But I'm going to talk about an intercoursing relationship with the Father. See, how many of you were able to pray to your spouse and pray and pray and pray magnificent, beautiful, godly, religious prayers and got your wife pregnant? Okay, well, the front row got it. Okay, better yet. How about a full orchestra singing a love ballad to her? How did you get pregnant?
You had to do the work.
It didn't work. He tried, huh?
No, you had to do the work.
You had to do the work. Okay. Now, let's talk about that for a second. You had to do the work is the phrase. Was there, hopefully not, there shouldn't have been any work involved in it. It should have been a very relaxing, spending time together, peaceful. It wasn't a marathon we were supposed to be running.
No.
It was supposed to be just spending time, and all of a sudden, you got a seed. You got a seed that was now the womb was going to bring. It was a life seed. Amen. And it was going to bring that little life, that little tiny seed was going to produce into a life. Okay? There is no other possible way that you can get a child from anything but a seed in a womb. And we call that a life. There's no other way that you can produce a life other than to put a seed into a womb. Am I belaboring this? Y'all got the picture of it, right? It's the same thing with God. Unless He can put, impregnate you with a scripture into your womb heart, your womb heart will not produce what it's supposed to produce. Am I making sense? We have bags full of scriptures. Our phones are full of scriptures, and we're quoting them every day. And nothing ever seems to work because God never got to spend a little bit of time with you. Not bondage. I'm not talking about tarrying at the altar. I'm not talking about fasting for 40 days. I'm talking about sitting still for 10 minutes. And meditating on one little scripture to where He makes it click. To where He makes it come alive. Everything else we do is a waste of time because it's all knowledge of good and evil. And it will kill you. You will die eating of that tree. The only thing that works is just like Pastor's story. That when you pray, exploded inside of Him. It quickened. It came alive. And He went over to the house and He said, Toby, do you have anything to feed Caitlin? And Toby said, you have indeed lost your mind. You know the doctor said, he says, I don't care what the doctor said. I'm going to paraphrase what he said. God just put in my heart something that made me so pregnant that I know it will not fail. Was it because he prayed to God all that time? Nope. Was it because he sang songs? Well, okay, Pastor, you're not. Okay, praise the Lord. We'll leave the singing alone. Praise the Lord. Just kidding. It was a single scripture, single phrase that lit his fire, and that's how it worked. You all can try it with your granddaughters, and you better get the mortician involved. You understand what I'm saying? Still unclear. We'll keep working on it. Thank you for saying that. Because I want you to take this home. What are you believing God for? What is it? Just say it inside your head.
Everything.
Okay, everything. Well, that's a lot. Okay. Exceeding abundantly above all you could ask or think. Okay. What did you come here today to get from Him? How many of y'all been dealing with it for a long time?
Yes.
And you'd really like it to go away? Yes. Now, what was the scripture that kind of, that's kind of a cool scripture. Concerning your situation, He gave more than 90% of the time back. So if you were sick for a year, what did He give you a year ago? What was the scripture that kind of came into your mind and you go, that's kind of a cool scripture. I like that one. This wasn't, God didn't speak from heaven and say, Thurman, son, sorry, He calls him son. Son. Mark 11:24. Okay, God. God didn't tell him that. This just happened to be, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. I'll give you the microphone while you have it. You can correct me if I'm wrong. This just happened to be a scripture that he goes, that's the one I want to use. I like that one. I can see that one working. But it was by no means a revelation yet. I mean, he may have had revelations on it. But it hadn't quickened. That one little phrase, when you pray. I mean, y'all know what I mean. When he read that, when you pray, it just exploded inside of him. Do you not get it yet? Okay, we'll get there. Father, give her wisdom in Jesus' name. We're here to learn and hear from you today. So everyone in this house that doesn't understand what I'm saying, give them wisdom, give them clarity. You said in James 1:5, if we lack wisdom, we can ask of you and you will give it liberally without abradeth not, which means he's not going to give you a hard time because you can't get it the first time. You're going to get it because you're going to take this home, because if I have only one shot at you, this is what I want you to take home. That what? Think about this. If I introduce you to your spouse and you guys like each other, do I need to do anything else for the rest of your life with the two of you? Or do you think you can figure it out on your own? Okay, there was some that said they needed help. Okay, no. You can do it on your own, right? Do you need me to come in there and show you how to do whatever your marriage needs done? Or do you think you're going to figure it out? If I can introduce you to this Jesus, I don't ever have to talk to you again. You will run off with Jesus and you will start your marriage and your life with him, and you too will figure it out. But you have to know how to hear from him. I mean, I had a precious soul came to the healing school last week that wasn't. And some of you got it. Her precious, my heart went out to her. She had every answer. Every answer. She could have got up here and preached this thing for me. But none of them came from the heart. And say, and I had a call this week. How do you know it's not coming from my heart? I can just hear it. I mean, I love you. I love you. At some point, it might come from my heart. I do love you. But when he says it's a whole lot different. There's something about your heart that connects with the message. It's not enough for your head to connect with it. You can fill that box full of money today. You can say, Jesus, hallelujah, I am saved. And if it doesn't get in your heart, you're going to be struggling with the same things in 2 days. Because the only when a seed of revelation is planted in your womb heart will it grow and become what you've asked him to do. Let's look at John 15:7. Let's take a look at this. If you abide in me. Now, let me caveat this before I start. The rest of this teaching, I am not trying to teach you scriptures. I'm not trying to wax eloquent about whatever I know in the scriptures. I want one of these to become a revelation to you. And I'm going to talk about how these verses became revelation to me. I am not interested in you being able to go preach a sermon on John 15:7. I want something in these verses to click so that you can walk away with a relationship with Jesus Christ that will never fail. Okay, that's I'm not, if you're looking for a professor waxing all this information, that's not me today. I'll tell you what words mean, but it's solely for the purpose that you get a revelation out of one of these scriptures. Okay? Amen? Okay. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. How many like that last part? How many of you would like to ask what you will and it be done? Now the word ask, I think my wife told me, means to ask for something. Okay? Pretty much what ask means. How many of you are living in that all the time right now? That whatever you ask for, whatever you will, it comes to you. Nobody.
It requires abiding.
What's that?
It requires first.
I'm going backwards in this verse.
Okay.
We've got to start with what we want. Do we want the end clause?
Yes.
Okay. Really bad?
Yes.
How many of us are getting that?
No.
Nobody. Nobody. Nobody is getting all of what they're asking. Does that say you shall ask what you will most of the time? Or you will get what you want most of the time? Or will it be done all the time? Am I violating the text or the context when it says we'll get everything we want?
No.
Okay. So somebody said you got to abide. Okay, we'll get to the abiding in a second. So nobody is getting that. Everybody wants it. Let's go back to the beginning and find out what's going on. Now, I'm going to... If you abide in me, how many of you abide in him? Okay, trying. How many of you abide in him 100% of the time? I've got a sorry, nope, and a shaking of the head. And so 100% of you believe you do not abide in him all the time. Well, then forget about the last part, right?
Right.
Wrong. Survey says, wrong answer. Right. Some of y'all are old enough to know that. Some of you are like, what's he talking about? Okay. Okay. Family Feud. What's that?
For me, like, I spend a lot of time and I try, but I always have that little voice that says, yeah, you've really done a vibe.
Okay. Amen. That's a great point. Always trying. But there's a little... I'm going to change your words a little bit. A little precious free gift we got from Adam from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that says, but you're really not doing that. We call it a sin consciousness. That's that free gift we got from Adam. And God said, if you eat of that, you will die. You will die. Okay. Yes, amen. Die. So what am I talking about? Well, first of all, how many of you try to bite all the time? How many of you think it's actually you that makes the abiding work? Okay, if everyone's saying, no, it's not me that does it, then why do you think you don't abide with him? Abide in him.
I have to say, I think it's part my effort.
Okay, part my effort. That comes from that free gift of Adam. That sin consciousness says, we believe that Jesus died on the cross. We believe that he paid for all sins, but deep down inside... But not that one I just did. Well, what is all sin? It's either all sin or it's not all sin. And then we have a problem. Okay. But we're not going there today. If you abide in me, and we read that to say, well, if I can just hunker down and stay with him, it wasn't your decision to abide with him. Do you have a verse for that? Yes, I do. Bring 1 Corinthians 1:30 up. This is so important. We think that somehow we have something to play in this. And so we look at sin because obviously we're missing the mark when we're sinning. So obviously that's why things aren't working. But look what he says here. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. How many of y'all got a revelation off that verse right now?
Yes.
Nobody? Okay. Let me tell you some more. What does but of him mean? That's the revelation. Now, I'm not preaching this scripture. I'm preaching to you something that God gave me this week. This was a revelation that he gave me this week. We think that somehow our righteousness or whatever standing we have before God is part us and part him. But it's not. We're going to get to a verse in a minute that talks about that. Our righteousness is not because of something we've done or something that we maintain. Jesus didn't die on the cross, pay all the price that he paid to resurrect so he could restart the clock for you. He restarted the clock, all right. But he says, you stay out of it. I'll give you a revelation that God gave me several months ago. My righteousness is not my problem. Ooh. That won't preach well in a Christian church. But my righteousness is not my problem. I'll get to Genesis 1:26 and explain it to you. Well, maybe I'll do it now. Do it now. Genesis 1:26. Look, Genesis 1:26. I know I'm meandering a little bit, so praise the Lord. Genesis 1:26 says, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over all the earth." When God created you here, let us make man. Actually, can I use, anybody have a problem with me putting your name in "let us make man"? Okay, let me explain. Let us make man. Look at the next verse. We'll just tidy this up real quick. I wasn't really going to go here, but praise the Lord. If you get a revelation out of it, that's what I want. I want you to take something home that will start your relationship with Jesus Christ so you know what it tastes like, what it looks like, what it smells like. And God said, let us make, next verse please. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female. Is that one man? Is that a hermaphrodite?
No.
No. Two people at least, right?
Yes.
Okay. So back up one verse, 1:26. So I'm not doing violence to the text to say God said, let us make you. Because if even if it was one man, all of humanity came from that man. So it's let us make humanity. Amen? Are you following me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I want you to get a revelation of this. I don't care if you can preach it. I want you to get a revelation. Take it home. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. What did that man look like? Look like God. We all say that. We have no idea what it means. We don't have any clue what we looked like, do we? Well, we look like God. Like God? We don't know. This is one of the reasons Jesus had to come back into the earth. We had completely lost what we looked like. And Jesus says, you guys don't have any clue what you look like. He didn't say that exactly. He comes in and begins to walk around like that man that was created right there. And it says in the middle of that verse, and let them have dominion over all the earth. How much of the earth is that? Now look at, this is the revelation. This is what I want, what God gave me. If this person, you, was created just like God, were you as righteous as him? That's a good head answer. Were you just as redeemed as him? Were you just as sanctified as him? Were you just as wise as him? We're going to tie 1 Corinthians 1:30 back. That's where we're going. Now look what it says there. Let us make you the way we want you. He decided to make you righteous. And he didn't ask for your help.
Amen.
Does it say let us? Now, some people might say, I don't know if I like this at all. Is this not the first time God speaks about man?
Yes.
It became law. God couldn't say, oh, I changed my mind. Because then one day you're going to go out there and the sun's gone. And if the sun goes, kiss off the rest of this, whatever thing we live in, solar system. God spoke a law into place and he says, you let us make you the way we want you. Don't try and help me.
Who's the us?
We'll get to that someday. That may be a little more than this in some conversation. Okay, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Yeah, there we go. There you go. Is man, let me ask another question. She said, who is the let us? Let me ask you, is man included in the let us? Remember, we're talking about a legal document that I can take before God and say, God, this is what it says, and he will back it up. Y'all follow me? This is the first time he's talked about man. And this is what he said. Let us make you the way we want you. I don't need no help from you. What did he tell us to do? To let them. Go take dominion. Make a kingdom. Go make a dom. A dominion. Go make a kingdom. Go do something. Make something out of this place. But stay out of trying to make yourself righteous. Because that's my job. Is that what it says?
Yes.
Now y'all brains are going. This is what he said in the beginning. He cannot change his mind. The reason he makes you as righteous as himself, which we will see in a little bit, is because he said it in the beginning. And he brought Christ. If you have any doubt, look at Christ. Was Christ righteous? You know what I found? I found that we have tried to make this thing so hard to add some kind of... And some of us are... Praise the Lord. I'm going to go rabbit trailing again. Praise the Lord. We're going to get back here. Remind me to speak about grace. Grace, Romans 5:21. Okay. Romans 5:21. Just remind me to go there because I don't want to rabbit trail right now. This is the first time God has ever spoken about man. And he didn't change his mind.
But we have the scriptures that say before he made the earth, he wrote us in a book. All
there you go.
Things were in the book before he did this, before he spoke. He had already put us in the book.
We were already in the book that written from the beginning.
Right.
Our names were written in the book from the beginning.
He had already chosen us.
He had already chosen us in?
Made us.
In Christ.
Before he even
That's right.
created the world.
That's right. But let's start before you. How many of y'all know you're as righteous as God?
Amen.
Most of you have a problem with that.
Well, it's scary to be bold and just answer it because you're like, I don't want to overstep God because I'm scared of his wrath.
So let's go back and look because that's because we're living in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Right.
Tree of life don't have that.
Right.
Tree of life put the wrath on Jesus Christ. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil puts the wrath on you.
Amen.
This is why it doesn't always work. But anyway, we're going to rabbit trailing. So, first time God speaks about man, he does not change his mind. And he says, I made you just like Jesus. I made you as righteous as me. So when God, when Adam messes it up, and we all think now it's our job to make ourselves righteous. Which one of you would have come up with the idea that you needed to bring a human sacrifice?
Never.
I heard a never.
Never.
So there was no possible chance you were ever going to even bring the right sacrifice. And then you bring these piddly little whatevers we do. And we think that that's supposed to make God happy. And he says, don't you remember what I said in the beginning? I told you, don't help me with this. We were not going to come up with a human sacrifice. There were religions that did, but those never fixed the problem because they never came up with the right human sacrifice. It had to be the Son of God. It couldn't be your firstborn or the king's firstborn. It had to be the king's firstborn.
Amen.
Okay, we're getting off topic a slight bit. So there was obvious that when God started this, he says, you don't need to try and help me with this righteousness thing. You guys are going down the wrong path if you're looking for that. Because he says, you have no idea that I've already made you righteous. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 1:30. Y'all understanding what I'm saying here? God started with us like that. I may refer back to it. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him are you in Christ Jesus. I asked you when we were looking at John 15:7, do you remain in him? And every one of you went to a works doctrine, tree of knowledge, good and evil, and said, well, I don't, not all the time. But of him are you in Christ Jesus? Y'all understand the phrase, in Christ Jesus? The but of him says it was his intention, his invention, his plan, his goal to put you in Christ. It's of him. That word of is the preposition ek, which means the source of something. The source of you being in Christ is him, not you. You're not in Jesus Christ because you made the decision years ago to trot down to the front of the church and say, accept him. It was of him that you were put in Christ. But see, nobody ever told you that. Everybody always added something into the mix to say, well, you're righteous, but not always. It was of him. He made the decision to put you in Christ. Now, if he makes the decision... can you mess that up?
No.
If he makes the decision to put you in Christ through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, can you mess that up?
No. It's his decision.
Can you lose it?
No.
But you can live defeated if you don't believe it. See, is this becoming a revelation to somebody?
Yes.
That's all I want you to take home, is a revelation. I don't care if you agree with my doctrine. Today I want you to know how to get into the book, make a scripture talk to you, and go home and say, Jesus, I finally saw it. And it may be any number of things that you're working with God on, but most of you need to believe you're righteous first. It's, you know you're righteous, absolutely. But do you know you're righteous?
Yes.
Okay, so when you badmouth him, do you feel guilty?
Yes.
Okay. You're getting there.
Do it.
You're getting there.
Yeah.
We won't even get into that today. Praise the Lord. I just want you to understand that if I can leave you with one thing, get a scripture. I don't care how. I don't care if it's Jesus wept. Meditate on it, and God will give you a revelation out of that scripture. And it will fix your problem. And if you don't get a revelation, you will stay busted and disgusted. How many of y'all have churches full of people, good, godly people, that remain in Christ, that are busted and disgusted?
Amen.
Every hand should go up.
Amen. We pray for the same people.
Pray for the same people every week. The same prayer list. And why? Because that precious soul never got a revelation from the Word of God saying, this is over.
Yes.
Understand?
I just feel like all of our lives, when I'm growing up in the church.
All of our lives, yep.
You get this condemnation preaching.
Okay.
This feelings like of guilt that you're unrighteous.
That's right.
You'll never be righteous.
Amen.
And we carry this guilt of, or shame, I should say, that
right.
We're never going to be good enough. We don't let go of that.
What he's saying, and I'm going to paraphrase it, we got that precious gift of Adam, the sin consciousness, and we rule all our churches and our lives with it. We focus on the condemnation. Let me ask you, how many of y'all heard from God? Okay? Either through the audibly or through the Spirit. How many of you heard something that caused shame and guilt?
Jesus came into the world not to condemn.
The tree, I need to finish this thought. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, when Adam ate of it, did it bring joy to him? Or did it bring guilt, shame, and condemnation? And God told him not to eat of that tree, which clearly said, if you do, you will die. How many of y'all think you're hearing from God and you're hearing guilt and shame and condemnation? Then you ain't hearing from Him in that other, in the tree of life. The tree of life is that scripture that explodes like it did in Pastor with Caitlin's flapper bell. Pastor didn't, after getting that revelation of when you pray, his first thought wasn't, oh God, I repent for not praying enough. Or, oh God, I repent that I've read this so many times and I didn't believe it. What happened, he said, let's go feed her. Something came alive in him, something that knew it was going to work. Amen? Okay, and if you repented for something, then I forgive you. Praise the Lord. Okay. Okay, well, that's okay. Praise the Lord, I forgive you for that. It was about a scripture that came alive. When he gets up here and speaks, the only thing he asks you is when you come up here, remit all your sins or whatever. He even remits your sins for you. But he says, come up here with a scripture. And he's not talking, he is talking about anyone that kind of you connected with. Just one. How many of y'all have a scripture that you kind of connected with? Something you think, yeah, God would really do that for me. Okay, some of y'all, praise the Lord. The rest of you just start reading your Bible. One will jump off the page. I recommend Romans or John. John's a good book to start in. Let me come back to this verse now. It was God's design to include you in Christ. Because he said in the beginning, you let us make you the way we want you. You don't try and help us. So Paul, or the Holy Spirit through Paul, tells us, look, it was God's idea. You are in Christ. You're not trying to be in Christ. You're not trying to be good enough for God to finally turn and go, oh, okay, come here. You have been included in Christ, period. And look what he says. This Christ was of God who made unto us wisdom. Some translations say it was the wisdom of God, so forgive your translation. Did we ask for wisdom at the beginning of this meeting? Did we not take James 1:5 and say, if you lack wisdom, ask of God who gives liberally? Where does that come from? It came from this sacrifice, Jesus Christ. I can't remember all the stories. When I would say, God, I lack wisdom in this. Would you give it to me? And the wisdom, the thought, whatever it is, shows up so quickly. And I know it wasn't me because I didn't have the answer 10 seconds ago. But I said, Father, I lack wisdom in this. Would you please give this to me? Would you please tell me what's going on here? Especially when I'm on phone calls with y'all. Y'all call in with all kinds of exciting stuff. And I go, Lord, you got to give me wisdom for this person because they want to be set free today. Amen. And something in the conversation quickens to them. Something comes alive. Something makes the difference that they go, oh, I was on a call 2 days ago. The precious lady goes, I feel so good. I feel so good. What was it? She'd gotten a revelation of something we had talked about. See, righteousness, it was God's design to include you in Christ so that you could, what's that next one? Righteousness, wisdom and righteousness. Is it what we've been talking about, being as righteous as God? We'll get to that. We'll defend that in a minute. And sanctification and redeemed. This is what you look like when God created you in the beginning. See, God didn't come up with some new idea. Oh, I think I'm going to change things now. You know, I liked Adam, but I'm going to make him a lot better. That was never his intention. He left it in the clause, you let me make you the way I want to make you. But we help him so much and we wonder why we live a completely defeated life. Because we're not letting him make us. We are helping him. And we have doctrines galore. I was actually arguing with God about something a couple days ago. And I said, they're wrong. They're absolutely wrong. And God says, I don't care about your doctrines. I care about your heart. Amen. So you can be a Torah observant Christian. And I can say, oh, that's all wrong. And I can say, no, I don't want no part of Torah. And both of us be right. Because if your heart is towards God, he goes, I don't care what your doctrine is. I'll work with you as long as your heart's towards me. Right. And how many fights do we get? How many church splits do we have? Can't have red pews in the church. That's... Praise the Lord. We argue over doctrines and all knowledge of good and evil, and we miss the relationship of the heart. And some of the things that I share, people don't like. You want to see people blow up. Just come by sometime. But God says, I don't care. Pastor and I don't even agree on every doctrine. But God showed me he's got a good heart towards me. How many of y'all agree with that? And he says, and I see that you have a good heart towards me too. So we can have completely different doctrines and none of it matter, because the bottom line is, did you get a little time in the Word today and did something talk to you? You believing for something? When's the last time you got a revelation on that something you were believing for? Oh, it's been a long time. Or better yet, when's the last time you sat down to actually look for a revelation? Oh, I should do more. You haven't looked for a revelation because you didn't know to. That's why I want you to take this home today. Go home and say, God, I remember one scripture way back when that you kind of quickened to me that said you would fix this. And you go home and you read that scripture and you read that scripture and you memorize that scripture and you meditate on that scripture, and all of a sudden something will jump off the page. You'll go, ooh, that's what that says. I'll show you in a little bit, okay? I'll explain it here in a little bit. I want to get through this. John 15:7 starts with, if you remain in me. You think the drug addict out there doesn't remain in him. God made everybody righteous. It's come unto all, Romans 3:22. But not everybody's heard it and not everybody believes it. Amen? Okay. So let's go back to John 15:7. Actually, there's another verse we wanted to go to. I did. But we're not going to get there yet. Praise the Lord. Thank you. We're making the case that you didn't have a choice to be included in Christ. This was a part of the let us party in the very beginning, who spoke about us, said, you guys, Adam messed you up. Actually, go to Romans 5:19. I'm sorry? Romans 5:19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Whose obedience makes you righteous? Not yours? Then why do you keep trying? Amen. That's what we preach every week. What is the, we're not going to get into obedience, but yes, that's a great discussion. The question was, I'm not going to get into it today. The question was, what does the word obedience mean? There's two words we use in, especially in Paul. Paul in Romans talks about obedience. One is a, I'm going to say a doing obedience, and one is a hearing obedience. Bring up Romans 1. It's in Romans 1 and Romans 16. It's the phrase that says obedience to the faith. Romans 1, say, not 16.
It's not 16.
It's not 16.
I've got Romans 1 here.
It's the one that says obedience to the faith. Thanks for the question, by the way. Obedience to the grace and apostleship. Obedience to the faith. Romans 1:5. Romans 1:5. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to what? What is that? Is that obedience to the law? Now I may be short-circuiting some of you. Forgive me. Let me make this thought again. Take a revelation home. If what I'm sharing with here is just a little more, you're like, oh, I don't know, I can't go there with you. Don't worry about that. Take home the idea that if you will read the word, it will talk to you and you will have a relationship that creates in you the life you're looking for. From whatever healing, whatever manifestation, whatever financial, marriage, whatever it is, whatever problem you have, if you can find a scripture on it till it talks to you, you will have what you believe. We'll get to that in a second. We're going to get back to John 15:7. So when you talk about obedience in Romans, he's never talking about obedience to the law. He's talking about obedience to the faith. What is the faith? I'm just going to very generally say it's believing and being obedient to the fact that you are the righteousness of God. It's believing and obeying not the sin consciousness, but the righteousness consciousness. The gospel of Jesus Christ that paid for everything, included you in Christ, and says now you are the righteousness of God. Okay, we're going to get to some other verses in Romans. So that's Romans 16 talks about the same thing. Paul starts with this idea. I'm going to talk to you about obedience to the faith. And he finishes it by talking about obedience to the faith. Okay, let's go to Romans. Praise the Lord. We're going to get to Romans 5:21 in a second. Okay, let's go to Romans 5:21. It's come up several times. Let's go there. Let's see if we can find another revelation here. How many of y'all believe you're under grace? Okay. Y'all need to get saved. How many of y'all believe you're under grace? How many of y'all believe that grace reigns now and you've been taught that and you've heard that and it doesn't make any sense to you? We wouldn't still be alive without grace. Okay. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, how many of y'all got a revelation out of that? Okay, not yet, but you will. Change the word, even so might grace reign. Change through to because of. Even so might grace reign because of righteousness. It's the Greek word dia. You can translate it through. It comes to where you get the word diameter. Diameter means you're going through the circle. So you can change it because of. As you can also translate it as because of. How does grace reign? Because of righteousness. Who's righteousness? Oh, Jesus. Amen. Amen. That's not from the heart. It's your righteousness. It's the righteousness that you, the obedience to faith. It's the righteousness that you heard God tell you that you finally believed. See, most of us say we're living under grace. But I ask you, are you as righteous as God? Oh, no. Then grace cannot reign in your life. Grace only reigns on a foundation of righteousness. If you don't think Jesus completed your righteousness, then grace can't reign. Because grace can only reign on a foundation of righteousness. If you are not righteous, grace cannot reign in your life. Now, I'm not saying that you look in the mirror and think you're righteous. I'm saying Romans 3:22. And I will get to Romans 3:22. If you think grace is reigning in your life and you do not know in your heart that you're the righteousness of God, grace can't reign. This is why I beat this topic about our righteousness. You want grace to reign, you have to be established in the righteousness of the solid rock. The one that cried, "It is finished." When he cried, "It is finished," what was done? Let me ask you, Genesis 1. Was Jesus, Genesis 3. Was Jesus' sacrifice required in Genesis 2? I'm not saying that he wasn't slain from the foundations of the world, but was his sacrifice required in Genesis 2 before Adam sinned? No? Was his sacrifice required after Adam sinned? Absolutely. Okay, we all in agreement with that. And Jesus, whether we can agree that Jesus was required before, we certainly can agree it was after. Amen? Okay. Jesus came to be the sacrifice, and his final words were what?
It's finished.
What did he mean by "it is finished"? What was finished? Oh, my beating, I'm so glad this is over. No. I hate hanging on this cross. No. It was finished. What he came for, the reason it started. If Adam was as righteous as God before, and the sacrifice cried, "It is finished," then what happened was Adam became righteous again. And not because of Adam, but because of the sacrifice that God said, "You let us take care of the sacrifice. You let us make you as righteous as we want to. You let us take care of it." When that sacrifice cried, "It is finished," it was finished. You all understand? Okay. So, when that sacrifice cried, "It is finished," and it was raised from the dead, the Bible tells us the same Spirit that raised him from the dead into us. Now, I know there's doctrines out there, once again, doctrines, that say, "Well, you have to do this or that or whatever." No, I don't care what you say. When you get that revelation that his Spirit came into you, and you had nothing to do with it because Romans 5:19 said it was not the righteous or the obedience of you that made you righteous, it was the obedience of Jesus Christ. Did Jesus obey? Did he do it right? Then how can you lose it? You can lose it by not hearing or not believing it. Is this all new to y'all?
Yes.
Any revelation? Very new. Well, we're going to go look at another verse. Say, wait, she says it's very new. Let me ask you, what do you believe Jesus did? Oh, he took a thunder and beating for my sin, and now I got to do my part too. The initial mandate was you let us take care of that problem. See, we make it too hard. We want to convolute this thing up somehow, and God keeps telling me it's easier than you think. It's as simple as read the verse, let it talk to you, it's done. Read the verse, let it talk to you, it's done. Go with me. Read the verse, let it talk to you, it's done. That's how hard it is. That's what I want you to take home. I don't care if you disagree with my doctrine. I don't care if Pastor burns this tape and says, nope, it's never available. Take home the idea that all you got to do is be in that book and let it talk to you, and your relationship will work with Jesus Christ. I don't care what it is you believe. Look what he says here. Grace reigns on a foundation of righteousness. Grace reigns because of righteousness. And look at the end result. Eternal life. Again, by is that same word, dia. Because of Jesus Christ. It's because of Jesus Christ we get eternal life. Oh yeah, we preach that. But it's because of Jesus Christ that grace reigns. Because of Jesus Christ, I'm righteous. Well, Dave, do you have a scripture for that? Yes, I do. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5, 21. Is this, any of this making sense?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. For God made Jesus to be sin for us. Most sin for us.
All.
Only my past sins.
All.
No. Oh, man. Y'all, Pastor, you got to pray for him. It says all. Think about this. If you were the creator that said in the beginning, let us make you just like us, and he didn't change his mind, do you think he was able to bring the right sacrifice to make you just like us again?
Yes, absolutely.
That's not what he said. Let us do it. Don't help anymore. You go focus on taking dominion. Go read the scripture. Go. You want to do something. You want to build let's say you want to build a business. Okay? Lord, I want to build a business, but I really want some help. Will you help me? He shows you a little verse and it goes ding, jumps off the page. Maybe not a lot, but oh, that's a nice verse. It says God will order my steps. Okay, I receive that. God says that I make my plans, but God orders my steps. Okay, I like that. And you keep meditating on that and meditating on that. And pretty soon it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And you're like, wow, I'm making my plans and I see him ordering my steps. And all of a sudden one day you're in the vision that you had, all because you cheated and had him do all the work for you. By simply saying, Lord, this is what I want. I found a scripture. And it wasn't that you beat God into doing it. He made it come alive and your womb heart produced it. It was nothing. There was no works in this. Please don't leave here thinking that you've got to go work really hard and reading your Bible and praying and doing all these things. This is really simple. One little scripture that he's given you about a problem you have, meditate on it. Meditate on it while you're going to work. Meditate while you're in the bathroom. Meditate when you're leaving. Meditate at the restaurant. Meditate in church. Daydream while the preacher's preaching and meditate on it. And all of a sudden, it will quicken to you. And you're like, yeah. He's going to do it. That's the way we live our life as a Christian. It's as simple as that. Okay? Let's finish this thought. God made him to be sin for us. If he takes all the sin away, what's left?
None.
Now this is hard on our carnal mind. Because I just saw myself do something that I don't think is right. And you're telling me God has already taken that? I'm not telling you. For he made him to be sin for us. What? So read the rest of it. so that I might be made that I might be made what?
Righteous
as who? Oh, no. We just all agreed in here that nobody was as righteous as God. Did we not say that? Who's in here is as righteous as God?
We all are.
We have always been. See, the let us party knew what sacrifice to bring. The let us party said it in the beginning, let us do it. You just go take dominion. Go get my word. Go find a revelation. Let me help you with this and I can get you done. But if you want to do it yourself, go ahead. You can build your empire by yourself, but it's going to kill you in the end. But if you want me to help you, I can help you. I can speak the word and God puts it in my heart and it happens. Y'all understand? It's way simpler than we've been making it. How many? Once again, how many have wondered why it's not working? I've wondered and wondered and wondered, why is it not working? Because I have been trying to add works. I've been trying to add some doctrine. I've been trying to add something into it. And God says, no, that's not a part of the let us. So you go figure out what you want to get done. Or let me say it in a different way. Galatians 5:3 says, if you add anything, you fall from grace. What does it mean to add anything? It means you stop believing that the foundation that you stood on was righteousness. Read Romans, Galatians 5:3. We won't get to it right now. But so God made him sin so that I would be made righteous. And who was it that was going to make me righteous?
Him.
Is there any part in there so that I might work my salvation out with fear and trembling and become as righteous as God? No, it says in him. The righteousness of God in him. See, the beautiful part is that when Adam first got created like God, he could lose his righteousness. But after God got done with it, he couldn't. Do you have a verse for that? Well, let's go look at one. Romans 3:22. Y'all getting something out of this? Now, what I want you to understand is I love preaching about righteousness, but I want you to take home the idea that whether you believe you're the righteousness of God, I don't care. I really don't. What I want you to understand is take that book, find the scripture that talked to you, and take it home and meditate on it. And it will talk to you some more. Even if it was just a scripture, well, that's a nice scripture. You understand? Okay. Yes? Okay. Looks like we're almost done. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith. Is that next word? Of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. How many of y'all believe that you're righteous because you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Y'all think it's a trick question now. Okay. What does faith of Jesus Christ mean? I'm sorry? To believe, okay, now that's a different one. To believe in him, does it? Now, how many of y'all have a translation that says faith in Jesus Christ? If you have an NK, if you have a New King James, you have an NLT, NIV, they all say that. But that's not what the original language says. The original language says faith of. What's the difference? What's the difference between faith of Jesus Christ and faith in Jesus Christ? There's a big difference. The faith is ours. What? I heard something over here. It's his faith. Now, what have I been saying so far? It was of him that we've been in Christ, that we've been included in Christ. It was God's idea, right? Not ours. I said in the beginning that God said, let us make you in our image after our likeness. Don't try and help us in making this image and likeness because you don't know how to do it. Let us do it. And now it says faith of Jesus Christ. Now look what it says here. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith. Whose faith? It's Jesus' faith. Now, the phrase righteousness of God, let's back up to Romans 3:21. Because we need to defend righteousness of God because some people may not understand that. Let's go back. Romans 3:21. But now, what does but mean? It's a conjunction. It means what?
Except.
Exception. You're a really good crowd, but. It's the opposite. You guys starting to get the idea. It's a negation. I'm going to negate something I just said. Here the Holy Spirit is saying, but now, not but later. What is he butting? What is he negating? Let's go back a verse and find out. Let's go back actually maybe two verses. Let's go. I think 19. Let's go to Romans 3:19. Now we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them who are under the law. Okay? Do we agree with that? What was the purpose of that? So that every mouth may be... What does that mean?
Shut up.
Means that nobody can have a defense. All those people that are but were under the law, that thought they were, I'm good, I'm okay. The law was put in place so that they could not defend themselves. You understand?
Yes.
It was the, we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. What's that last part?
And all the world
become guilty before God. That pretty much covers everyone, doesn't it?
Yes.
We got a butt coming, but right now we got to stay where we're at. That everyone would be held guilty before God. Now, I was told when I started chasing the law, you do these things and you'll be okay. But the Holy Spirit is telling me through Paul that, nope, you'd still be guilty before God. You wouldn't even have a defense. Why would God do that? Why would he put in place a law where you can't defend yourself?
Because it's of him.
It's of him. Amen. It's because of him.
He chose this way.
He chose this way. Okay.
He made it.
He made it. Now, did he do it because he wanted to fry you all?
No.
Or did he do it because he says, I know a better way? I'm the one who said, you let me take care of it. You let me make you as righteous as I want to make you. Okay, now watch this. Next verse. Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall, and I want this phrase, I want you to look at this phrase, no flesh be justified. What does that mean? So you cannot ever earn this righteousness? Or this justification, I should say. You cannot be justified because of what? Deeds. Amen. Works, deeds, whatever you do. You cannot be made righteous. You cannot be justified is what he says. Now, look what he says here. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Next verse. Actually, bring 20 and 21 up together. But now, what is he butting? He's butting the idea that no flesh can be justified. But now flesh can be justified. But he doesn't say, but now flesh can be justified. He says, but now the righteousness of God. What's he saying there? He's saying, I'm not talking about you just being justified. I'm talking about you becoming as righteous as God again. You understand? This, the justification, we would think, well, okay, that means I can go stand before God. I can enter his throne room. And as long as I'm good, he's not going to smack me. No. No flesh could be justified in his sight. But he says, but now you are becoming the righteousness of God. And how do you become the righteousness of God? Next verse, 22. By the faith of Jesus. It was Jesus' faith that justified us in the flesh. It's Jesus' faith that made us as righteous as God. Now, if you do not build your life on that solid rock, grace cannot reign. And we have churches full of people that say, oh, grace is, that's what we live under. But they don't believe that they're the righteousness of God. It doesn't work. You have to be built on the solid rock of whatever he completed at it is finished. That's where we start. We don't start back before the cross. We don't start in the middle of the cross. We start after the resurrection. And after the resurrection is the point, I've been made as righteous as God again. Amen? Okay. Now look what he says here. This was done by the faith of Jesus Christ. Not my faith, because if it's faith in, that's my faith. Can my faith fail? Does it fail you every day? Does his faith fail? How many of y'all getting a revelation of that? You can't mess this up. But you know what? We're going to get back to John 15:7 because there's a very important part of John 15:7. I have been made as righteous as God by Jesus' faith, and it cannot fail. But I don't have to believe it. Look what it says in the end of the verse here. It's come unto all. This whole idea of this concept, this blessing, if you want to call it, of being as righteous as God has come unto all. But it's only manifesting in those who've heard it and believe it here in the heart. You don't want to believe it in your heart? Don't worry about it. Just go home with the scripture. God will take care of it. He knows how to take care of his loved ones. Amen. But if you know that, that's where we start. We start from that solid rock. That I don't ever have to worry. I don't have to duck when I go see God anymore. I don't have to duck when I ask him for something. In fact, I can ask for a selfish prayer and he'll answer it. You got a scripture for that? Yeah, I do. Who knows the prayer of Jabez? Was that a selfish prayer? Lord, bless me. Lord, increase my territory. Lord, put your hand upon me. And don't let evil come upon me. Lest I be a pain to others. Because that's what his name meant. And God, and the chronology in Chronicles says God did exactly that. God wants to show up in your biggest mess to show you how much he loves you. But you know the knowledge of God isn't going to heal it and it's not going to fix it. He wants you to know in your heart. He wants you to know here that he wants to fix it. You can know it here all day long and be like all the 100,000 Christians out there, or more than that, there's a bunch of them, that go, well, you know, I believe all that stuff, but it doesn't seem to work for me. Because you never got in your heart. It's got to get into the heart. And it's so simple how it does. Read it. Let it jump off the page. It's yours. But be honest. How many of us spend any time in the book? Preachers? They're in the book all the time, right? Well, sometimes. But they're usually preparing a sermon. They're preparing a sermon to feed the flock. They're not actually getting intimate, intercoursing relationship with Jesus where he gives them a nugget. See, that's the beauty of this week. I didn't know I had to preach, so I didn't prepare anything.
Praise God you didn't prepare.
Amen. So he kept giving me nuggets all week. I said, this is really a cool revelation. I like this. And he went and there was another one the next day. You know, he would do it every day if you want.
Right.
Do you know how your life changes when you start getting a revelation out of his word? How many of y'all know what I mean when I say revelation? There better be every hand go up.
Yeah.
Not every hand. Okay, we need some prayer. That's what I want you to take home. I want you to understand. So watch. This righteousness of faith has come unto everyone. But not everybody's believed. Not everybody has heard it till they finally clicks in their heart. Do you know when how long have I preached on righteousness? 4 or 5 years now? Do you know January is when it finally clicked? And the phrase that he gave me, your righteousness is not your problem. And I go, oh, I got it. I finally got it. I finally got a revelation that my righteousness, and that included all my sins, that included all my failures and mess ups, that was not my problem because that was his job to fix, not mine. But yet, I have to believe that he fixed it. I have to believe that that sacrifice of Jesus Christ actually did what he said it did and not what I think it did. You getting something out of this? Okay, let's look at one other. Actually, y'all want to hear a story?
Yes.
How many of y'all have heard about my son and his arm being bent? Okay, a couple of you. So we're building this church in here. We're the walls are not up there yet. Most of it's not. The upstairs is not in yet. It was really fun back then at the church. The kitchen wasn't in. And Rosemary, one of our prayer warriors, comes out and says, "Dave, you need to come pray for your son. His arm is bent." I'm like, that's a very strange thing. What do you all think about an arm being bent? I hope it is. Praise the Lord. Amen. Come on. Right? Your son's arm is bent. Well, she wouldn't confess what she saw. Come on now. It was bent in a place it wasn't supposed to be bent. Not a good thing. So this is my son. He's got a bent arm, and I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus. And so I went there, and so I went and prayed real quick. And how many of y'all know when your son is having troubles, you're not real happy?
No.
So I came back out and worked. After I prayed for him, I came back out and worked for a while. And I didn't know what to do. I was like, God, this isn't good. And the thought that kept coming to mind, the bones of the righteous aren't broken. The bones of the righteous aren't broken. The bones of the righteous aren't broken. And so the next day or whenever, I guess it may have been a Saturday, we had decided we were going to take our son to a Jewish chiropractor friend that we know to look at the arm to make sure that it was at least okay or something. We didn't really know. And deep in my heart, I'm like, God, that's not your way. It's not your way. It's not your way. I don't like it, but it's not your way. I'm listening to pastor every week, you know, he builds your faith every Sunday. And I took a day off to fast. And I said, okay, Lord, I need to hear from you because I don't know. So where do you think I started? That's the right answer. Psalm 34. Go to Psalm 34:20. I started where I knew where I was at. Where was I at? Psalm 34:20. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. I said, okay, this is a great chapter to start because I have a broken bone and I need some revelation. I need something that's going to cheer my heart, something that gives me hope that this little guy is not going to end up being all messed up for the rest of his life. Y'all agree? Because I'm not going to take him to the doctor. My wife loved that. How many of y'all women love that? I wanted to stand in faith. I wanted to see God show up. I wanted to see something happen. I wanted to see God fix that arm. Now my wife, you know, you mamas, you know, she's like, oh, my baby arm. Amen? And I can hear one of you saying, I'd have killed him. I'd have killed him. A different child. Amen? Any amens in the crowd? Okay. So I said, God, I need to hear from you. I need to know if you're going to fix this little arm. Okay? So I started there. So let's go back up to the beginning of the chapter, because when I started in Psalm 34, now, again, I'm not preaching this. I want you to understand how God took me from a problem to a solution. It's going to take a little bit of time, but I'm going to show it to you, okay? Psalm 34, let's start at verse 3. Now, I'm in this quiet time, and I'm asking God, I need help here, because I need to see you show up. Start at verse 4, please.
Yeah.
We're going to read through to verse 22. Let's just see if God talks to us in this passage. 34:4, and you're going to go to 22. Starting at verse 4. Okay. I didn't bring a Bible in. Okay. Who y'all have a Bible?
Yeah.
Who has a Bible? Okay, good. So I read at 34:20, and it said, he keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. I said, we got a problem. Because the bones of the righteous are not broken.
Amen.
Okay? Bottom line, that was what kept coming to mind. The bones of the righteous are not broken. So look what he said here. So I said, okay, Lord, I think this is a great chapter to start reading. I've got all day. I want to hear from you. And so I went. Praise the Lord. Bring it up in the NLT, please. I'm going to read through the NLT because that was the translation I was reading at the time, not because it's saved or anything. Okay? Well, y'all chuckle, but the NLT is one of those that says it's your faith in Jesus that makes you righteous, not his faith that made you righteous. Look, that verse, since we're waiting for NLT. It was by the faith of Jesus. Notice it wasn't by the works of Jesus. It was God's works for sure, because he was the one who brought the sacrifice. But it wasn't Jesus' works. That's why Paul will start Romans saying it's from faith to faith. Because it starts with what Jesus' faith did, and then it finishes with what your faith completes. But you have to start on the solid rock foundation of righteousness in order for grace to reign. Okay? That's. I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Next verse. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. Do you see how this started talking to me? I'm needing to hear from God. Now, none of this is revelation, okay? This is just like comforting. Like, okay, good. God promises that I'm going to be radiant with joy and there will be no shame. I mean, I need a miracle. I need God to show up. And I started with what I knew. Okay, the bones of the righteous are broken. Okay, let's go find out what else that chapter says. Next verse. In my desperation, boy was I ever, I prayed and the Lord listened. And I said, I sure hope you do. He saved me from all my troubles. I'll be okay with that.
Amen.
This is what was going on while I was dealing with that son in that quiet time. I was saying, God, I need you to show up. I need to hear from you. This is over my head. I am in deep water here. I don't know how to fix it. I'm not going to go have a doctor touch it. I want it fixed. And this is where he led me. Next verse. For the angel of the Lord is a guard, and he surrounds and defends all who fear him. Next verse. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I would read, oh, okay. Because I really wanted to taste and see that the Lord was good. Amen? The joys of those who take refuge in him. You see how he's talking to me in the middle of this crisis? This is what he wants to do to you. And just having a knowledge that Psalm 34 is a great passage doesn't fix the problem. I need my heart to be touched by something he says. But this wasn't revelation, okay? This was all really good, but it wasn't revelation. Next verse. Fear the Lord, you his godly people, for those who fear him will have all they need. Next verse. Even strong lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. Now, next verse. Come, my children, and listen to me, and I will teach you to fear the Lord. Next verse. Does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous? I said, oh, yeah, I do. But I really want my son's arm fixed. Next verse. Then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Now, immediately we go into works here, don't we? Oh, I've got to watch my mouth. No, you don't. Wait, what? Did he just say that? Yes, I did. What does your mouth speak from?
Your heart.
So get that thing established on righteousness, on your righteousness because of what Christ has done, and your mouth will clean up. You say, well, my grandma was such a sweetheart. Now she's like a bitter, you know, nasty speaking. That's because it was in her heart. We learn how to control our mouths for a while from our heads. But ultimately, it's what comes out our heart that our mouth speaks. So you don't try to control your speech. Correct what's going in your heart. Next verse. Turn away from evil and do good. search for peace and work to maintain it. Next verse. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. His ears are open to their cries for help. Are you trying to do right? It doesn't matter if you are or not. Are you the righteousness of God?
Yes.
Then He watches over you.
Yes.
See, I started from a problem where I had a broken arm. I needed to know somehow, some way that God was going to fix this. Well, those first verses were very encouraging. These were a little more like, oh, okay. I didn't really understand them, but it was okay. Keep going. Next verse, please. But the Lord turns His face against those who do evil. He will erase their memory from the earth. Next verse. The Lord hears His people when they call to Him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. Now, I went through those other verses to get to this one. That really encouraged me. If you're dealing with the problem and He's given you a passage to go look at, and then He tells you, I hear my people. Didn't say His saints. He said, I hear my people, and I rescue them. You see how you can be encouraged just by reading the Word? Okay, next verse. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Next verse. The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. I didn't understand I was righteous at that time. This was the revelation He was going to give me this day when this little arm was broken. Was He was going to show me. I didn't even understand it. But He showed me that I didn't have to have a broken bone because of being righteous. Okay? For the sake of time, I'm going to jump ahead. I went through Psalms 34. Took an hour or more reading that, meditating on it, just being encouraged by it. I went to Psalm 37, read it, went all through it, was encouraged by it. Nothing ever jumped off the page. I went to Psalm 41, Psalm 42, Psalm 51. And I just read them slowly. And I took comfort from the verses that gave comfort and I left the other ones alone. And then I got to Isaiah 53. Now, we're going to read it out of the NLT because the NLT was what I was reading that day. So, Isaiah 53, start at verse 3. Again, this is close to the end of the day now because I've spent most of the time studying, trying to hear from God. I was going to fast, I felt, for as long as it took. And if that took days, years, I didn't care. I needed to hear from God. There we go. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. Who are we talking about? Jesus, amen. We all know that. We turned our backs on Him and looked the other way. He was despised and we didn't care. Next verse. Yet it was our weakness, and we also know our sickness and disease, but this translation says weaknesses. It was our weaknesses that He carried. It was our sorrows that weighed Him down. And we thought His troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for His own sins. Next verse. Yet, but He was pierced for our rebellion, and He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole, and He was whipped so we could be healed. Now again, I'm sitting there in that quiet time, just fasting, saying, God, I need to hear from You. Well, all this was comforting. I really liked the idea that He paid for it, but it didn't make any sense to me. Not at that time. It makes sense now. Keep going. Next verse. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on Him the sins of us all. Next verse. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet He never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep is silent before the shearers, He did not open His mouth. Next verse. Unjustly condemned, He was led away. No one cared that He died without descendants, that His life was cut short in midstream. But He was struck down for the rebellion of My people. Next verse. He had done no wrong, and He had never deceived anyone. But He was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. Next verse. This is where it started talking to me. Okay, watch this. What's the problem I have? I have a son with a broken arm. You don't have broken bones without being righteous. If you're righteous, you don't have broken bones, right? That's where I'm at. This is where I'm at. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. Next verse. When he, that is God, sees all that is accomplished by Jesus' anguish, God will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous.
Praise God.
That exploded. That, because of what he did, I was made righteous. Amen. I knew my son's arm would be healed. I had no doubt, because I had gotten a revelation from the Word. Now, this may be the NLT, but that's what I was reading that day, and that's what God used to show me that he would fix that arm. Now, you tell me which son and which arm. You won't know. You can't tell, unless you listen to one of Pastor's stories where he tells the name. You can't know. So many precious folks are trying to get something done because they have a scripture and it's never talked to them. And they wonder why their children are dying, why they have all these problems. It's not about what you did wrong. Think about it this way. If you're shipwrecked on an island, does it matter how you got on that island? It doesn't matter how long you analyze what you did wrong to get on that island. That's not going to get you off that island. The only thing that's going to get you off that island is if somebody sees you and rescues you. And the King of Kings rescued us in a simple verse, in a simple phrase. The servant, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous. And what was the first thought I had that day? The righteous don't have broken bones. Now, this scripture speaks to me a lot more now. But I didn't know it was somebody else that made me righteous. And the thought I had after that was, if God has made me righteous, my boy is going to get healed. Do you see how it works? Now, you can have bagfuls of scripture memorized. But if one doesn't impregnate your womb heart, you get nothing. You understand? If I can talk to you today and tell you only one thing, find the scripture that talks to you. And you already know it. You don't have to go on some big long hunt to find it. You already know it. You understand? If I could send you home with one thing, let the scripture talk to you. Don't let any other doctrine, any other thing interfere with the scripture talking to you. Amen. Y'all learn anything? Okay. There's one thought specifically I wanted to continue on, as well as a couple of other stories. Do you find the stories of how I got the revelation? Do you find those helpful? Because a lot of times we think we got it, but we really don't. We think that we understand something, and then when we get out of here, the devil starts beating you up or whatever happens, and you're like, oh, okay, I didn't get it. So I want to share a couple more stories. I want to go back to John 15:7, because there's one last revelation in John 15:7. We talked about John 15:7 being... If you remain in me, and we found out that we remained in him because of whose concept, whose idea, whose purpose was that?
God's.
It was God's, correct? It was God's purpose on why we remain in him. The second part, or the last part, was we want to ask what we want so it can be granted, correct? We talked about that. But we didn't talk about the phrase, and my words remain in you. Does that give anybody revelation?
Yes.
What does that mean?
To read His Word and to be able
to read His Word and to be...
And to quote it from
to
the
quote
heart.
It, to quote it from the heart. Okay. That's close. That word that we translate... I'm sorry, you had a comment?
I agree.
Okay. That word up there, and my words remain in you, is the Greek word rhema. He says, if you remain in me, which is something God established, and my revelations remain in you, those little things that jumped off the page at you, if those remain in you, you can ask what you will. If those do not remain in you, you can beg and ask and plead and nothing will happen. This is the point I really want to, this is why we're going here. The most important part of that verse is that we are the ones, He gives the revelations, okay? He'll give you a prompting for a scripture, and then He will give you the revelation of that scripture. How many revelations did I get from Him concerning my son's arm? One. One. Lots of things were encouraging me. Lots of things were blessing me. Lots of things were like, oh good, I'm on the right path. But only one revelation. I went to my wife after that. We were going to go talk to that Jewish chiropractor. And it was actually, the beautiful part about this story is, I started in the morning. And I was going to seek God until that revelation, until I finally heard from Him. I figured I'd probably be doing this 2 or 3 days. And I wasn't, you know, whatever. Before dinner time, He gave me the revelation. I said, "Hoo-hoo, I'm done. I can go eat." Really, honestly, that was what I felt. I said, "I've got the revelation. I know He plans on doing it. I can go eat." And so she said, I came out. I said, "I'm ready to eat." She goes, "Well, you're fasting." I said, "Nope. I'm not." I said, I got my answer. I got what I was looking for. And so she said, a little after dinner or something, "Well, are we going to go to the chiropractor and we're going to get this fixed?" I said, "Nope." Y'all women love that, right? Like, oh, I thought we were going to get this thing fixed. And so I sat down with her and I showed her the whole path of all the scriptures that I read. And when I got back to the Isaiah 53:11, I started crying again because it ministered to me so much. And I said, that's why we're not going. God has promised me that He's going to fix that arm. Because I knew the bones of the righteous don't get broken. I had a broken bone. I went back and I said, but the finished work of Jesus Christ has made that bone not broken. And so I praise the Lord. So every night my son wouldn't let you touch the arm. He favored it greatly, right? Whichever one it was, I don't remember. But he favored it greatly. I mean, you couldn't get near him. And so he'd go to sleep, and we'd just gently lay our hand on it. Just say, "Father, thank you for that promise in Isaiah 53:11 that you gave us that you're going to fix this." And we noticed that the bent was there a long time. But he'd start about 2 weeks after that. We noticed that he'd walk along the wall and he'd kind of just barely touch something. So he was starting to use it. And then we noticed that maybe within a month, he was starting to grab the doorknob to open the door. Now, he wasn't using it. He wasn't twisting it or anything like that. But every night we'd go in there and we'd just say, "Father, thank you for that promise that you gave me that arm was going to be healed." It was as simple as that. God gave me a scripture to start with. He gave me the scripture that became revelation. And then all I did was like applied it every night. She and I would go in as soon as he went to sleep. Pretty soon we noticed that he was using it. He was using it to do stuff. Like, praise God. And then it wasn't maybe a month and a half at the most. We really couldn't tell that anything had ever happened to it. Because God had given me a promise that He was going to fix it. And when He does that, He's well able to do it. We talk about Abraham. And one of the things that Abraham, or the father of our faith, was that he not only knew God would do it, he not only knew that God wanted to do it, he knew that God was well able to do it. So that's where we want to go. So coming back to John 15:7, those revelations have to remain in you. How many of you have gotten a revelation? And I'm sure everyone in here has. But when the battle starts heating up, we forget about the revelation we got. We forget about the it's how we fight the fight. Don't try any of these things you've heard me say without having the revelation of Scripture. I want to talk about my own healing. Y'all know that, well, how many of y'all know I got healed here? Okay, a lot of you. So I had the real bad case of eczema, skin problems, and I came to Pastor Scribner, and he said, well, if you do, I tell you from God's Word, I guarantee you God will heal you. And let me back up before this. Let me talk about something recent, and then I'll back into this. A couple, maybe a month or two ago, when I was asking God about why doesn't it work? Why is none of this? Why is all the things we do not working? Why is it that we have all these scriptures? And how many of y'all know God heals today?
Amen.
There's no doubt. Why isn't it not working for you? And so I was asking God, I said, God, I have no doubt that you do these things. In fact, I was dealing with a man on the phone that's blind, been blind for about 4 years. And he gets discouraged every so often. And I said, there's one thing we both agree on. We believe that God can heal you. Is that right? He said, absolutely. Now, we may not know how to get to that point. We may not know how God does it, but we know God does it. My question was, God, I don't doubt that. I want to know why it's not working. And he asked me, he said, how did you get healed? And he was referring to my healing back 15 years ago. I said, God, I don't honestly know. I don't know how I got healed. I did so many things and so much stuff. And I was so, I don't know. And he said, what was the one thing you constantly did? I said, I know what that is. I had a little book by Dodie Osteen called Healed of Cancer. Y'all ever seen this book? Y'all know Dodie Osteen's story? Healed of Cancer, right? And I knew at that time, the only thing I knew was I read her book, and for whatever reason, I started quoting the 40 scriptures that were in here. I read those scriptures over and over and over and over. I memorized those scriptures. I started speaking those scriptures to the devil. I started speaking those scriptures to God. I started speaking those to myself to say, I am whatever it said. Nothing ever clicked. I'd work for the corporate world, and they would go out and take smoke breaks. So every time they'd go take a smoke break, I'd go out too, and I would read my scriptures. I had these scriptures memorized. You read the same 40 scriptures for 20 months, you're going to have them memorized. But one day, I was on page 59, and I came to this scripture. This is the only revelation I ever got out of this book, out of my healing. It said, Jeremiah 30:17. For I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds. And that clicked. That verse came alive. It quickened. Out of all of the scriptures I read, out of pastors' prayers for me, all the things I did, God said, that's how I healed you. Because he sent his rhemas to heal you. It's kind of Old Testament, so it's the bar. But I sent my word and healed you. I sent the revelations that excite your heart, that give you joy, that give you the understanding that it's going to work. It's going to really work. I'm really going to get over this. That revelation, that was what he gave me. Out of that book, out of all those months that I dealt I got one revelation. He says, that's how I healed you. So I was meditating on that concept with God, because I asked him. He said, how did you get healed? I said, I really don't know. And when he showed me that I got healed by one single verse that quickened in my heart, that impregnated me and came alive, I said, oh, okay. So I grabbed my new list of verses. How many of y'all have a list of verses? Okay, you need a list of verses. Ask me afterwards, we'll get you some lists of verses. And so I said, okay, praise God. All I have to do is start reading these scriptures every day, putting them into the air and making things happen, right? No. But that's okay, I'll tell you what happened. So I was reading one day, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Your days shall be 120 years. You shall be buried in a good old age. You shall come to your grave in full age, like a shock of corn cometh in his season. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. And somewhere in this list, I heard God say, stop it. I go, well, when he talks to me, I know what he means, right? How many of y'all know when he says something to you, you know exactly what he means, even if he says uncle or son? He, pastor's heard son many, many, many times, and he knows exactly what God said when he hears son. Okay. He said, stop it. And instantly, I knew what he said. He said, stop trying to read them. Meditate on them. Think about it. Let that verse actually go through your head. Don't just say it because you're putting it into the air to make something happen. Actually meditate on it. I thought, okay, I can do that. So I'm going down here, and I came across this one. I have found a ransom for you. Your flesh shall be fresher than a child's, and you shall return to the days of your youth. Bring up Job 33:24-25, please. How many of y'all like that? How many of y'all want to return to the days of your youth? I didn't get a revelation off of that. I thought, wow, that's kind of cool. I like that. So what he showed me was, start meditating on that verse. So for the next day or so, I was meditating. I was saying, I have found a ransom for you. Your flesh shall be fresher than a child's. You shall return to the days of your youth. Okay. Bring up Job 33:24-25. Please. How many of y'all like that verse? Does that verse sound good? Okay. I love that verse. Praise the Lord. 24:25, please. King James. We can see here it says, I found a ransom for his life, but 24:25, please. There we go. So it starts at the end of 24. I have found a ransom. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. Okay. So I was meditating on that verse. How many of y'all like that one? That one, is that a good one to take home?
Yes.
Okay, because we're going to finish on that one, I believe. I think that's what we're going to talk about. So I'm meditating on that verse. I'm going for my little walk every day, and I'm thinking, I found a ransom for you. Your flesh shall be fresher than a child's. You shall return to the days of your youth. I said, that's really cool. And all of a sudden, I'm walking, and the word I found. What a weird word, right? I found. Quickened in my heart. It was like, oh, wow, that's what that says. You know what I said? Thanks for looking. That was the only thing I could think about. I found a ransom for you, and I said, well, thanks for looking. But it was a little revelation that he was beginning to make this verse come alive to me, making this verse pregnant in my heart so that I could get whatever I wanted from this, which is return to the days of my youth. Y'all understanding? Okay. Not a big revelation, but I want you to understand that as you meditate on this scripture, it's going to start talking to you. So a couple days later, maybe a day or two later, I'm thinking, okay, Father, thanks for looking for the ransom. Thanks for finding it. Thanks. Because obviously if you had to find it, I wasn't going to find it. So thank you. And I'm just praying over this concept, how grateful I was that he had found it, because he had told me he found it. He'd quickened it to me. A couple days later, ransom jumps off the page. I said, ransom? What's a ransom? Payment. Okay. You guys ransom your telephone bill at the end of the month? No, that's kind of what God showed me. He said, what is a ransom? somebody's in deep trouble. It's an exchange. Okay, it's an exchange. But it's an exchange of diamonds for Rolexes. No, 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 no. It's an exchange for a life. And I thought, wow, God, a ransom is somebody who has been found in a state that the cruel people that have them, kidnapping or whatever, will accept a ransom to set them free. It's not just it's something bigger than just a payment. A ransom is something that satisfies everything that the perpetrator wants in order to set that person free. And it started growing me. I thought, wow, God, you not only went looking, but you found, and he didn't say a payment or a sacrifice. He said a ransom. That meant the word ransom, like I said, I'm not trying to preach this verse. I want you to understand that what he was doing was showing me, I meant that word when I said it, and I was talking about you. And I thought, wow. And then the other thought about ransom was, that means that if he's found a ransom and he pays it, there's nothing that can come back on me. Because the price, when we talk about ransom, we're talking about something that satisfies everything that the perpetrator or the evil people want. Everything is satisfied. He didn't say, I found a payment and I've got a recurring payment every month. He says, I found a ransom. I said, oh, wow, okay, God, thank you. Now, once again, not preaching the verse. I want you to understand that as you meditate on a single verse, several phrases will start jumping out at you. Amen? Amen. So I'm meditating on it one day, and I'm saying, thank you, Father, for finding a ransom payment for me. My flesh shall be fresher than a child's, and I shall return to the days of my youth. And all of a sudden, the word shall. I go, does it really say shall? Because he was trying to convince me that he meant what he said. Now think about that. His flesh guaranteed. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He, oh, it's pretty weak over here. Shall. Now, like I said, I'm not trying to preach this verse. I'm trying to tell you these were the revelations that he gave me out of this verse. He wants to do this with every one of you. And I don't care what kind of a crook or saint you think you are. He wants to do this with every person. He wants you to understand that I have these little nuggets hidden in there for you. And I'm going to do exactly what I say. And when he puts it in your heart and you connect with it, don't let the revelation slip. Continue to remind yourself about it. Again and again and again, okay? So I'm meditating on that. Man, God, that's great. I shall return to the days of my youth. I'm good with this. And then I'm meditating it a couple of days later, and it says, I found a ransom for you. Your flesh shall be as fresh as a child. And he says, stop, I didn't say that. I go, what? And the word that he quickened was fresher. He didn't say, I'll make your flesh as fresh as a child's. He said, I will make it to where children lust after your flesh. Your flesh shall be fresher. See how all these little nuggets are hidden in there? But they weren't there the first time I read it when I go, oh, that's kind of a cool verse. I didn't have revelation on those. This is the importance of your quiet time. Whether you want to, I don't care when you want to have your quiet time. Set a time aside time every day where you just pick on one scripture. Well, I'm meditating on this and I'm thinking, well, you know, God, I've pretty much exhausted this. You know, I need to move on to other verses. I'd go to other verses and none of them, they weren't meaning nothing to me. I'd come back to this one. I go, God, that's really a good verse. You found a ransom. You looked for it. You found it. How can I lose on this, especially with all the revelations he's given me? And I meditated on it. And it probably was a month or more that I meditated on that one verse. My quiet time was about thinking about that one verse. Thanking God. Thank you, Father, that my flesh is fresher than a child's. Thank you that I return to the days of my youth. Now, I want to bring this point in because a lot of times we think that Yeah, that's great, Dave. Yep, I got to get the revelation, but I still got to do something. If you've got to do something, he will show you in his word what you got to do. So if you're battling cancer, first thing you do is you either go find a doctor to fix it or you go and find a diet to fix it. No. Get your revelation first, and in that revelation, he will tell you what you should or should not do. When I got the revelation, not of the scripture I shared about my healing, in the very beginning, what started me on the entire path of not following after a doctor for my healing was Pastor was sharing the story of Cody. Little Cody had had some kind of skin problems, and he had heard Pastor teach, and he was so excited, he ran up to Pastor and said, "Pray for me. I want to be healed." So Pastor did. His mama comes a little bit later to go find him and says, "Okay, Cody, let's go up there and let's get Pastor to pray for you." And Cody says, "No, I don't have to go. I've already been prayed for. I'm healed." And so with the promise of a bustin, you know what a bustin is? The promise of a spanking, that if he had any problems with his stomach or whatever it was, digestion. If he had any problems, he was going to get a spanking. By faith, he said, "Nope, Pastor's prayed for me. I don't need to go up and get more prayer." And his mama was frustrated, but he didn't ever get sick again. He'd gotten a revelation of something Pastor said in his heart. We're no different. So I'm sitting there listening to Pastor share the testimony of this, and all of a sudden it's like I hear God say, "I want you to stop your diet, your vitamins, and your medications." I'm like, I said, "Okay, but God, my medications are what keeps my skin from exploding and doing all the weird things it does." And he said, "Do you want to do that for the rest of your life?" And I said, "No." And he said, "I'll meet you where your faith is at." And then I said, "But you don't mean the vitamins, because they're rebuilding my health and all this other stuff." And he says, "Do you want to do that for the rest of your life?" I said, "Nope." And he says, "I'll meet you where your faith is at." Now, Pastor's preaching the whole time. I'm not hearing a word he's saying, because me and God are having a conversation. And he finally, I said, "Lord, you don't mean the organic foods and all." And he says, "Do you want to do that the rest of your life?" And I said, "No." He says, "I'll meet you where your faith is at." And I started my journey of reading scriptures and starting not even understanding that revelation from scripture was how I was going to accomplish the healing that I was looking for. Okay, so think a second. Where was I going? Praise the Lord. I may be done. Okay. Talking about my healing, that's right. Thank you, Father. Don't, please, 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 don't make this thing a works. Don't go off because you have a problem and say, "Well, God told Dave to get off his organic foods and his medications and his vitamins." Don't go do that. I got that revelation of something to do from being in the Word where God gave me something. Don't start anything by doing. Start it with a revelation from God. If he wants you to stop smoking, he will tell you. If you're dealing with all kinds of problems because you smoke, don't make a bondage out of it. He'll tell you. And the beautiful part is when he tells you, immediately the desire goes away. When you get a revelation of that he wants to heal you, and then there's a revelation behind that says you shouldn't smoke anymore, you will find smoking goes, and it's gone. And you won't ever have to fight it. You won't ever have to battle the desires to smoke again. How many of y'all, well, I'll just say this. I know a lot of people who've quit smoking many, many times because they'd quit and they'd start and they'd quit and they'd start and they'd quit and they'd start and they'd quit and they'd start. And God puts a revelation, you won't ever deal with it again. Okay? So I'm going to tidy up real quick because I want to bring home this whole thought. If I got one chance to talk to you, I would want you to understand how you get healed. I would want you to know how to get a revelation from the Word of God so that you could take that and marry Jesus and live the rest of your life. Okay? We all know that Jesus is the reason for why we get healed. But we have no idea how to connect with him. We just go, we'll get up here and say, well, you just need to believe in Jesus. Well, what part of Jesus do I need to believe in? Well, just Jesus. Well, that's not, that don't help me none. Find the scripture and God will make himself real in that scripture by quickening it to you. Y'all, anybody have any questions about what I mean by quickening? By coming alive, by making it excite you? Nobody has it? Okay, good. Then I'm gonna thank you. Appreciate your time. Thanks for listening to my one thing. All right, God bless y'all.
The Lord, praise the Lord. There we are. Boy, I really appreciate Dave and the way he's learned how to walk by faith. He really has a simple way of making it come real to you. You need to find that scripture. And that question he has, why is this not working for you? It was well explained today.
Amen.
Well explained. All you need to do is spend time with God.
Amen.
Spend time with him. Talk to him. Worship him. Praise him. Thank him. And then he will bring these revelations to you and make them real. I know it works. I've asked him so many things and he's told me so many answers so many times and seen it work right here on the floor.
Amen.
So he'll do for you what he does for me and Cheryl.
Amen.
So I'm still not in the standing mode much. I may stand a little.
Oh, you're not supposed to bear any weight. No weight bearing.
Well,
you can sit in the chair. No weight bearing.
I'm not going to bear any weight on my leg, but I'm going
right
to stand up on both legs.
Uh-huh. Oh, great.
Yeah, I'm standing on the left leg, praise God, and thank you, Lord. You know, we don't want to realize, and I hate to say this, but when these bodies get to be 80 years old, you know, God in his word says he only gives us 70 and perhaps 80, but what does it say about 80?
Psalm 90, verse 10.
Yeah, yes.
Psalm 90, verse 10.
Yes.
If you want to be specific.
But anyway, I was just sitting here thinking, you know, you come to a time in life whenever the doctors will tell you what you have to do. And you're going to have to make a choice. Are you going to get that scripture from God and go his way? Or are you going to go the doctor's way? We're all going to make that choice. Every one of us. There's no two ways about it. I think about King David. He only lived to be 70 years. And then he died.
But we want you to live longer.
Yeah, you can. You can live as long as you want to, as long as you do what God says. It's all by faith. You can do it by faith. But it will not be easy, I will tell you for sure. You may think it's easy, but it's not. So anyway, I've got people here that pray. My prayer warriors all stand up. Everywhere you see one of these people that are standing up, these are prayer warriors. So when you get ready, like Dave said, the first thing we're going to ask you to do is to find you a scripture to base your faith on. If you don't have a scripture, the chances are nearly zero that you'll get healed. God requires his word to be used in the healing of your body. So stand on his word. And if you need to be healed, all you got to do is find one of these prayer warriors that are standing up. Make sure that you've got your scripture. You know that scripture, and you can quote that scripture. You know where it's found. Now, I'm telling you, don't come up here to be prayed for and not have a scripture.
Amen.
Have a scripture ready. Be ready to repent of all sin, sins of unbelief and doubt and all those things. And that you're going to walk in love with God and with his people. If you'll do that, then these people will pray with you, and you will be healed.
Amen.
Okay, so if you need to be prayed for, Father, in the name of Jesus, we dismiss this healing school. We thank you for healing your people. Thank you for showing us the truth. And Lord, we thank you for Dave today and his teaching on faith and the good things that you do through him. And Lord, I thank you for blessing all of our folks. And everybody that came here, open their eyes, open their hearts, and do what you do best, heal people's bodies and save them. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, if you need to be prayed for, you find you one of these prayer warriors and stand with them, and we'll go from there. And then tomorrow afternoon we have church again at 2 o'clock, 2 to 4. Okay, you're dismissed. Praise the Lord.